During our scripture reading, you will notice there is a term that was new and challenging and refreshing to me, even though I grew up with these verses, as many of you did, experiencing life on God's terms. What does it mean, experiencing life on God's terms? Let's explore this morning. From the Hebrew Testament, from Psalm 42, verses 5 through 8. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God, soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you, from Jordan depths to Hermon Heights, including Mount Mizar. Chaos calls to chaos to the tune of white water rapids, your breaking surf, your thundering breakers crash and crush me. And then God promises to love me all day, sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. And then in the New Testament, to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 9 through 17. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of Him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome Him, in whom He dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and He does, as surely as He did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. The resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. Here ends our scripture readings. May your life and my life be touched and changed whenever we are confronted and aware that God is with us. that God is real. My friends, the now aging comedian Jerry Lewis, and I think most of us remember Jerry as he was as a youngster, funny guy, many smiles, and he enriched us with his culture. But later in his life, he did develop some problems, and he tells the story himself that finally he felt so down and so burdened by the problems of life that he went to see his doctor. And his doctor listened to his story and finally summarized it like this. He said, "Oh, Jerry, don't worry so much." "Doc," Jerry replied, "now you tell me, how do you don't worry?" Easier said than done. That's a good question. How do you don't worry? How do you not dread? How do you not be afraid? Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not saying that many of us are continually living in fear. After all, we are modern people. We have many good answers and very good arguments. And nowadays, even medicines that help us to a certain extent to get rid of fear and anxiety and so on. Yet we all are aware of the fact that in our lives there come times that life itself becomes a bit of a burden, often even overwhelmingly difficult for many of us. I think we all know that feeling. Times when life itself and all its miseries just begin to add up and up and up and to leave us almost defenseless. Especially when dark clouds seem to keep rolling between the sun and us. Have you felt at times when you read the Bible, Psalm 42, that it was specially written for you? Have you ever asked the question, "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues?" It was written 1,000 years ago, several thousand. But boy, nothing has changed. We know the feeling. Analyzing the current situation, some say that 9/11 was the day when America finally lost its innocence. Whether it's true or not, I do not know. But one thing is for sure, since then, so much negative has happened in our world, and it seems as if it will never end again. We've seen the world leaders the past week scratching their heads, making contradictory declarations, seeking solutions, so they say. Others just seeking a platform. Yeah, we see what's happening in the world. And we just realized anew when they talk about nuclear war that this world is a dangerous place to live in. Is this as bad as it gets? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not only a sign of our times, because the Bible and world history recorded similar events that happened through the centuries. Times when entire nations felt they were at the point of extinction. Times when grief and sorrow, and some of you saw it during the wars of the past century. Times when we thought things couldn't get any worse, possibly no. And then if you go further back in history, you realize that this is not even unique to the recent centuries. Because think who wrote this, from where to whom. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, we believe, while in prison in Rome. And he was actually getting the letter out to the first Christians in Rome, because they were facing extinction themselves at that time. Can you imagine the persecution of those days? Fear was part of their daily lives, and they weren't sure what the next day would bring. So no, we are not unique to say this is the most difficult time in the history of the world. But for them, past and present, for all God's children through the ages, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption." We need to talk about that. You know, in our time, millions of people all over the world are indeed still living in fear. And we can't seem to escape it. Through the modern media, in the comfort of our living rooms, we are given ringside seats. And we often, on a daily basis, see bad things happening to good people. Actually, for our times, anxiety, fear, and depression are constant companions in our lives and in the lives of so many people around us. Ain't it terrible? It's awful living with the spirit of fear. Fear of the future. Fear of having the past catch up with you. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure. Folks, when we become aware of these things, then that's a time when you begin to seek deep inside. Deep, deep inside. What do I do? How do I respond? How do I live? How do I keep my optimism? How do I rejoice? Now I want to tell you that people have different ways of dealing with their fears. A story that I like to tell is about that timid little fellow who went to the movie theater by himself for the first time. So he paid for his ticket and he went inside. But shortly, 2 minutes later, he came back to the ticket office and he bought another ticket. And moments later he returned. This time he was visibly shaken and confused, and he bought a third ticket. But this time he muttered softly to the cashier, "If that man inside the door tears up my ticket one more time, I'm going home." Even when fear is not physically destructive, it adds a great burden to our lives. Story of the two men on a double bicycle illustrates it pretty well. They were panting and perspiring, and finally they made it to the top on this double bicycle of theirs, to the top of the steep hill. And once on top, "That was a stiff climb," said the one man that was sitting on the front seat. "Oh, it certainly was," replied the second man. "And if I hadn't kept the brake on, we would have slid backward." A world-famous psychiatrist tells about a ship caught in a terrific storm. And at the height of the storm, the frightened crew heard a terrible crashing sound below. And immediately when that happened, they knew what it was. One of the cannons below deck had broken loose and was crashing into the ship's sides with every smashing blow from the sea. And the sailors knew. They understood. So several of them, at the risk of their lives, went down and managed to fasten the loose cannon again. For they knew, they understood, that that heavy cannon on the inside of their ship is a greater danger to them than the storm outside. And the psychiatrist tells the story to illustrate how anxiety can in fact affect your life and mine. The burdens that we carry within can be more destructive to us than the storms raging on the outside. So it is necessary for us to know where fear resides. The word fear comes from an old English word meaning sudden danger. And it refers to fright when fright is justified, when danger is real. And in such cases, fear is appropriate and sometimes useful. It can even save your life. However, that type of fear is not what we're talking about. Such fear is the least of our problems. In our everyday lives, we are more likely to be haunted by anxiety. What is anxiety? It's the fear that stays with us even when there is no real danger of any kind. It is the fear of the uncertain. Anxiety comes not from without. Anxiety comes from within. So when fear manifests itself within us, anxiety, worry, or dread, then, says the Bible, it becomes a spirit, a dangerous spirit. It is something we carry around with us on the inside wherever we go. And we have it long before we encounter anything actually worth fearing. Anxiety is a condition of the mind, of the heart, of the soul. And thus the only cure is reorientation from where? From within. From inside out. Acquiring a new identity. A sense of affirming, understanding, and knowing who we are. So, way to say it could be to us, those of us stricken by the spirit of fear, of anxiety, maybe we need a faith lift. Maybe we need to begin experience life on God's terms and not our own. We need to know and understand that we can lean back on the everlasting arms. And we need to know, what's more, we need to accept that we have a divine friend who will never forget, will never forsake us. I think I can safely say that anxiety increases in direct ratio and proportion as a person departs from God. When you feel so frightfully alone, so alone, even the heavens turn grey, and you seek a solution from there no more. To explain this better, when God becomes real in your life and mine, when God becomes real, we exchange our inner uncertainty, our angst and fear for a new experience. Then we begin to discover what it means to live life on God's terms and not our own. What does this mean in practical terms? What are some practical steps each of us can take to conquer the spirit of anxiety and fear? Well, focus on today, not tomorrow or yesterday. Mistakes of the past often cripple us. We lay awake at night reliving past humiliations, some anticipating the consequences of past misdeeds, some regretting the tragedy of missing opportunities that we missed in the past. Very, very early this morning, I looked up at my mother's picture in my study, thinking, 27 September, she would have been 98 today if she lived. Before I knew it, I was away from my preparations, from everything. I was in a different world till I realized, hey, what are you working on right now? Sometimes you need to move on. Begin anew. Living life on God's terms means that we must unconditionally accept a loving God, a forgiving God in our lives. People who have chosen God in Christ can rest assured that the past is gone, past tense, over with. The New Testament says, thou, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And Paul advises us in Philippians 3:13, forget those things that lie in your past, and also forget the things that are yet to come. I'm not saying so. Jesus said so in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Each day has trouble enough of its own. Concentrate on today. Who knows, says Jesus, what tomorrow may bring? We can only be certain about today. Focus therefore on your faith and not on your anxiety. Focus on your faith and not on your fear. The Nazis brutally treated Betsy ten Boom in Ravensbrück concentration camp during World War II. And before dying there, her sister Corrie ten Boom, the author, was with her. And amongst the final words that she penned down from her sister, if ever you get out of this place, go and tell the world that no matter how deep the pit, our God is deeper still. Sidney Lanier, the brilliant young American poet, lived about 140 years ago, and when he was in his late 30s, he developed TB, tuberculosis. And he knew instantly that he would not live long, for very few survived that disease in those days. So what he did was he went down to the coast of Glynn County in Georgia, and sitting one day looking across the marshes, he wrote one of his finest poems. He called it The Marshes of Glynn. And in that poem is this immortal conclusion. As the marsh hen secretly builds on the watery sod, behold, I will build me a nest on the greatness of God. Living on God's terms. Today can be your day to begin experiencing life on God's terms. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon, says the psalmist, soon I'll be praising again. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen.